Podcasting 2.0 for January 24th, 2025, episode 208, The Booby Trap. Hello, everybody. Once again, thank God it's Friday. You know why? Because the weekend's here? No, because it's time for the official board meeting of Podcasting 2.0. This is where everything goes down. You want to know why podcasting is great, why it was already good, and why it will be even better? It's all happening here. We are the only boardroom that plays music instead of taking a bathroom break. I am Adam Curry, here in the heart of the Texas Hill Country, and in Alabama, the man who decompresses your files on the fly. Say hello to my friend on the other end, the one, the only, Mr. Dave Jones.
And two.
And what?
And what?
And two.
And I two. Just tooted.
Oh, you tooted. Yeah. Oh, you tooted.
I mean, right under the wire.
Of course. You are the pod sage. You have all those capabilities. You are, in fact, a Superman.
You literally intro'd me as I was hitting the toot button. So we're good.
Ah, good. It's been a crazy day today. As we speak, first time ever, I have a brisket on the smoker.
Oh, you got a smoker.
Well, I've had the Pit Boss. I got it for my birthday.
I've got a Pit Boss as well.
Oh, you do? Oh, you do?
Yes.
The Pit Boss is indeed quite boss.
Boss.
It's very boss. But I've never smoked anything. I've done steaks and, you know, burgers and stuff like that. Did you have the sear plate?
I want it. That's the one thing I don't have, and it's on my smoker lust list. It's one of the things that I want.
Can you retrofit that on your Pit Boss?
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. It's just the plate. Just change the plates out.
Just the cast iron plate, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So I started this morning. Warmed it up to 225 at 8:45 and we have a 10-pound brisket. Went right on, and I'm worried about that. I'm like, oh my gosh.
What's that, like a 12-hour smoke, roughly?
It should be about 10, 11. And, well, okay. They said these would be 3 to 5 hours to get it up to 160 internal temperature. So got the probe in there.
Yeah, yeah.
This is where I need the Bluetooth probe accessory, which I don't have.
The Wi-Fi,
Wi-Fi accessory. Uh-huh. Yeah, so I don't have that, so I had to go out. And they said between 3 to 5 hours to get up to 160. So right at noon, it was at 160. So then I had to wrap it in butcher paper, which I didn't even know what that was. Mm-hmm. Butcher paper.
The barbecue, the heavy orangey,
yeah, exactly,
rust colored paper.
Yes, that's it. So I got that, wrapped it all up, and then it has to go in for another, they say, 2 to 3 hours to get to 190. So I turned it down to 200 so that during the board meeting, I wouldn't have to go check my meat.
Well, you've got the, oh, wait, Sam says No,
I'm a bad boy. I'm sorry.
Oh, I tweeted and tooted. I didn't even ping.
I'm sucking. Well, what can I tell you? I'm sorry. Hold on a second. What did I do wrong?
Let's see. I'm going to reply to Sam and say pod ping in progress.
Hold on a second. Pod ping in progress. I did set it all up, but yes, you're right. I was so excited. Yeah. I'm so excited. And when I get excited, I forget important things.
You don't have to check your meat. If you're probing it,
well, I have to check the temperature. This is what I'm saying. If I had the Wi-Fi thing, I could sit here and know if it was okay, and then I could be But now it's like I turned it so it can't get hotter than 200, obviously. So hopefully it'll. I think I've timed it so when we're done with the board meeting, it should be about 190.
So if you see that, I don't have the Wi-Fi thing. I have to go handle my meat in order to probe it. But, you know, if you can, that's kind of a.
No, the probe is in. I have a built-in probe thermometer.
Yeah. See, you're using the one that's built into
the Pit Boss.
You're not using the, what do they call it? The handheld probe.
No, I don't know.
Yeah. I do use that one sometimes, but I'm not
a fan of it. Only if you have a really thick cut, because otherwise, if it's too close to the plate, it'll be like it's 500 degrees. Like, no, I don't think so.
I usually wait until the meat is hot to put the probe in, because if you get it when it's cold, it's just too hard to probe.
We are probers.
Yeah, you got to get, because it's more, when you, if you wait till it's hot, then it's kind of wet and juicy, and you can just stick the probe goes in so easy.
That's what she said.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Jesus, forgive me. Forgive me.
Oh, Lord, you're beautiful.
Oh, no, I repent. I repent.
The brisket. I've done one brisket, and it turned out really good. You know what is all, to no lie, the best cut of meat on the smoker, though, is the plate ribs, the dino ribs.
Ooh, yeah.
Basically a brisket with ribs, yeah, with ribs in it.
Yeah.
And if you cook it just like a brisket, the ribs just, I mean, you can just pull them out with your hand. They just fall out, and you've got this, like, it's basically the fatty part of the brisket, but all the way through. Like, it's just it is so good.
And how long does that take? How long does that take to do?
Oh, it's not nearly as long as a brisket. Cause I think the bone helps cook it faster, because it's like, I want to say like 6 hours, 7 hours. Oh, that's like that.
This is going to wind up being 8 or 9 hours. Anyway, we'll see how it turns out. You know, there was a time in early No Agenda days when, I don't know if you remember this, I don't know how long you were listening, but Dvorak would literally stop the show because he had to go outside to baste his meat.
I don't remember him ever doing that.
Oh yeah. No, it was much hilarity ensued from Dvorak basting his meat. Yes.
Well, the best part, so the pit boss, I almost spent, like, the pit boss is the best bang for the buck, because there's many more expensive smokers, like the one with the horns, the Rectech and all that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's much more expensive smokers, but the pit boss has got a feature that the other ones don't have, which you can, it's got the lever thing where you can expose the flame.
Yes. Oh, that's the sear plate.
Yeah. You can reverse. Oh, that's what you mean by sear plate.
Yeah.
Oh,
what did you think of that?
Yeah. I thought you meant the sear plate. That's like a big cast iron griddle looking thing. Oh
no. I think they actually call it the sear plate. You open it up and then the flames right underneath it.
Yeah. I've got that. Yeah.
That's
so you
cool.
You can reverse sear steaks with it. Oh,
yeah,
so
that
you,
is
do
that.
Do you
is,
do the reverse?
Oh, yeah, low and slow, and then psh, psh, psh. Yeah, you
and
bet.
And then nuke it.
Yeah, baby. Hey, it's a meat show.
Meat talk.
Meat talk here on the board. You know what? We're already out of control. Do you mind if I break format completely? Because I'm excited.
It's already broken. There is no format right now.
I am so excited. And please get your streaming podcast apps ready. CurioCaster. You can do it on the Split Kit. You can do it in Fountain. If you got Podverse, get it ready, because we have a conversion taking place. We have converted Henry Invisible. Now, Henry Invisible. Did you see Henry Invisible on Boostergram Ball Live from Antone's?
No, I did not.
This guy is a one-man band, and he's about 5'4" tall. He has a bucket hat, a furry bucket hat on.
And that guy.
Guy. And he's just an amazing guy. And I remember when, because he didn't have any songs value for value, but we invited him anyway, and he got a really good experience, because people were just boosting and zapping. And, you know, he got, I don't know, $600-$700, you know, for his set, which is much more than he'd make. You know, if you make anything at all at a set these days, you might get a little bit, but. And I remember he said, Adam, this is so, and his dad was his roadie, you know, and his dad is really cool. And they're big believers. And, you know, so we were just having a good old time. And he's like, you know, this really makes a difference. What you guys are doing is so cool. I'm so excited. And so now he has not one, but two songs that has released value for value. It's short. It's only 3 minutes, but this guy, if you take away the visual, and just listen to what he's doing. He plays all the instruments himself. He has Prince-like vibes. And I just wanted to play it right off. I'm so excited. Henry Invisible, Do It Good on Podcasting 2.0.
Sometimes I put my head into my hands and think about a bad tomorrow. I keep on wondering about the world. Cause you can feel there's so much sorrow. Then I remember
there's no more. If I could, I would. Because I can. I sing you this message. May resonate, yeah, with every human being. Here we are. Say it like this. No need to ever wonder why things in the world are that way. Why there's so much magic in this world. And you can tell that every day in many ways. There's you and me, and we can be everything we want to be. Well, I do it good. Got to do what you can, 'cause you should.
Walking the dog last night, and I'm listening to This Week in Bitcoin, and Chris plays this at the end of the show, and I'm just dancing down the driveway. I'm like, this is I love this. This is my jam right there. I love that kind of music.
He's like the funk version of the guy that I never can remember his name, who does the punk set with just him and him. It's him and his guitar. And a drum, like a bass drum and a snare drum that are both foot activated. Do you know the guy I'm talking about?
He performed in Nashville. That guy, you mean?
I can't ever remember his name. It's something that's hard for me.
Rock and roll break heart.
Rock and roll break heart.
Exactly. It was a great show. And I just heard this song. I'm like, I like this. It's just, I'm a funky kind of guy.
That's good.
I'm a funky kind of guy. Ugh, funky.
I'm just glad you played a song on the show again.
I know.
It's been like a month.
Well, even longer maybe. But, you know, since we went to this shortened time, which means we have to kind of hustle. But this is only 3 minutes. I'm like, we can spare 3 minutes, 3 minutes. And thanks for not boosting everybody. Douchebags. Nobody boosted. Boost that man. Go back. Rewind. Boost that man.
They're invisible boosts.
So a couple things. We need to talk about Podping D. Need to talk about that because it's been on the list for as long as we haven't played songs. But I would like to reiterate our call out once again, and I have another one. For Apple... And any other podcast app, we have many of them already that recognize the lit tag. Holy moly, you have no idea what you're missing out on. Apple has such an opportunity. It's become even more clear this week. Every single radio, and I'm going to be talking at NRB, every single radio station is talking about their stream. They want to turn off these expensive transmitters. They're converting their people. And you can be the directory for all radio stations in your podcast app. It's such an obvious thing to do. And I'm sure their player already handles it, right?
It should. I mean, it's the audio engine that's underlying it does.
Yeah.
There's no difference there.
It just seems like it's a no-brainer. Thank you, Sam Sethi, 3518.
This came up in a talk. In some of the talks that we've had, on the Godcaster stuff is whether HLS audio is how supported HLS audio is.
We actually ran into an HLS server in the wild and it threw us for a loop.
Yeah. It's like an M3. It's like, here's our audio stream. It's like an M3U8. Wait, what? A playlist file?
Yeah, I know. I had to be like, that makes no sense. What are you doing? What is this?
Because like 99% of the wild is Icecast or whatever, Shoutcast. And then you see one of those and I was like, ooh, I don't know how we're going to support that. I mean, so I'm assuming that my current understanding is, at least in the browser, so this is, you know, for like browser-based podcast apps, that HLS audio, meaning just a playlist of audio chunks. Is going to be, I think that's supported in Safari by the native audio tag. Because some people, like the audio tag and the video tag in HTML are, my understanding is, under the covers in the HTML world itself, in the browser, that the audio tag and the video tag are basically the same thing. I think they're identical under the hood, except the audio tag just doesn't show the video portion. But right. I think there, so if one supports something, then the other one should as well. So I think the audio tag is, the audio HLS is supported on Apple, on Safari, WebKit browsers. And my understanding is it may be supported on Android devices as well. I think it's the desktop that's the hitch.
Oh, really? So, that's interesting. Why would that be a problem? Why would that be a problem? They just don't have it in there?
You know, I don't know.
What an odd company. I'm not sure. An odd company sometimes.
But you know, but haven't audio and video codecs always been this way? They've always been mired in like
all kinds of crap, DRM, all kinds of nonsense. Uh-huh. Yeah. And my browser's always saying, well, in order to view this video, you have to allow this DRM stuff to come into your, I'm like, no, I won't, just won't watch it. I'm good. No thanks. Yeah,
Eric PP says CurioCaster supports it. I think it's because he's using, I think it's VideoJS maybe. Stephen B can correct me if I'm wrong. I think it's video. There's plenty of plugins that'll help you do it, like VideoJS. But I just mean like natively. And so I don't.
Apple probably has to own and have developed whatever they put in there. That's probably one of their main requirements. Oh, if we didn't develop it, we can't use it.
Oh, Steven says HLS.js. Most of those plugins operate by those JavaScript plugins in the browser page. Operate just by hooking the video or audio tag. And then just taking over the decoding of the thing and then providing the audio back to it. So I agree. I mean, Pocket, like as far as live tag goes, Pocket Casts, they're an obvious one.
Yep.
They should be supporting this.
I mean, Podcast Addict out of the box, because they've always had radio stuff in there. Their player not only will do it all, it also reads the metadata in the stream, which is even more beautiful. So it pulls up image and changes when there's a new, if it's a music track, it changes with all the metadata.
This episode, if we had to title it.
Okay. I have my pen.
It would be Dave Cries for Help.
Done. All right. Dave cries on Blue Cry for help.
Okay. On Blue Cry, yes. And because I have many cries for help right now.
Oh, baby. What's going on? Talk to me. The doctor is in. Let's talk. Can you show me on the doll where the HLS hurt you?
It's right here in the head tag. Yeah, so one of the cries for help would be the live, let's see, where do I start?
Pod,
you brought up Podping D.
Mm-hmm.
Podping in general, so I'm talking about podping.cloud.
Yeah.
I need some help with that, with it. So Alex and Archie have both offered recently and in the past to help me with, you know, just some sysadmin, DevOps type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And I appreciate both of them doing that. I'm going to have to take them up on it. Cause one of the issues, so live depends on Podping into some extent, right? You can do it without Podping. So if you have, there's a start time in the live tag and an end time in the live tag. But you could, you know, if you're an app and you don't want any external dependencies, you could just say, okay, start time is this. This is a good exercise. Let's do this. Let's say let's dream up an app. This is Adam's podcast app.
I like it already. It's a winner.
And you want to support live items, but you don't want any third-party dependencies because you're gonna run on device purely. You're not gonna try to check Podping. You're not gonna do anything. You just want to exist purely on device.
Okay.
You're gonna read the RSS feeds and you're gonna see that there's a live item in this feed. Since you have no Podping, what you do, so that's out. So you're going to have to depend on
the feed refreshing the and showing time. It equals live.
Well, the start time. Okay. This is what I'm trying to get to is what heuristics do you construct in order to make sure that you A, tune in on time and B, don't miss any of it.
Well, I personally tend to stay away from any and all heuristics in my life. I find them very unhelpful.
Agreed.
Agreed. So, okay. Well, there's two different things there. And some apps do this quite well where they say, hey, this is coming up live. Some will show it to me as live next, and some won't show it to me at all, only when it's actually live. What are we drinking?
Oh, this is a LaCroix Limoncello.
Nice. Limoncello. Huh. With alcohol? Nice.
No, this is a virgin. Yeah.
Mm. A mocktail.
So if you took that idea and said, okay, I'm going to take a cue that this thing is going to start at this particular time that's defined in the live item start time attribute, you could say, okay, well, let's go ahead and notify the user, like what you said, maybe 5 minutes before the start time is listed. And then, but at any time, we can go ahead and just like put something in the interface saying this is an upcoming live stream. You can, like a place, almost like a placeholder, like coming soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could tap on it to go ahead and attempt to tune into the live stream ahead of time. Just, you know, because a lot of times there's pre-show.
Mm-hmm.
And like with this, you know, with our thing, we don't exactly, the start time may be 12:30, but we, you get this ball rolling, you know, 15, 20 minutes ahead of time. So there could be like coming up maybe half an hour before there's like this placeholder item episode and you could tap in early.
Yeah.
And then it doesn't really, even though there's an end time attribute defined in the live item, you don't necessarily have to cut it at that point. You probably shouldn't.
Probably shouldn't. No.
You should say, you should just basically do what we do in the index, which is 24 hours after the start time.
We consider it done.
We consider it over as long as the end time is some point in the past.
Right.
So then you basically allow the listener to just continue listening as long as they want.
When does the crying start?
I already did that.
Oh, okay.
I got it out of my system.
All right, good.
I did it on the way home for lunch. That's one thing that you could do if you're going to support live items and not depend on Podping. So that would, because, and the reason I'm talking about this is because, I feel like that is going to be a hindrance for some people. Now, we know that Podping is dependable and, you know, pretty much rock steady.
Yeah.
Nothing's absolute. Absolute belongs to God. But mm-hmm. short, you know, on this earth, you know, there's basically cockroaches, Velveeta cheese, and Podping.
Those things remain. Yes, that's what those things remain. Cockroaches specifically. But yes, Velveeta cheese is up there.
And so, but there are some people like Apple, and I'm 100% sure that they would be this way. Like, Podping. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But we don't want to depend on some rando, you know, internet messaging bus,
right?
That we don't control. But that's okay because they could do it that other way, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they can still support the live item and get that thing done. I feel like that's dependable enough.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I think so. I think they should consider Podping anyway.
I do too.
Just to say Podping. Mm-hmm. think of the whales and all the other things you're killing with your global warming, with polling all these feeds.
And so the cry for help on the Podping front is I need some DevOps help on the Podping.cloud stuff. Podping.cloud. It's such a simple thing to run, actually. It's five servers. There's three in the United States. There's an east, a central, and a west. There's two outside the U.S. There's one in Australia, one in Europe. And then they're all like $5 a month Linodes.
Right.
There's nothing to them. The problem I'm having is, and I've talked about this on the podcast index.social, is I need somebody to get in there and just set this thing up to where the Docker logs don't keep eating up all the disk space. I've tried to fix this and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I must just be missing something. I've followed the documentation of the Docker's documentation. It does their log rotation algorithm that's supposed to keep the logs no bigger than a certain size. It just doesn't work and I don't know what I'm doing wrong. Hmm. So like I, you know, Alex offered to help I may ping him and say, you know, and give him credentials to get in and just see what I'm doing wrong and fix it.
Yeah.
If he can't, you know, if it's not too much trouble on his part. But in order for Podping, you know, Podping has to, for the best live experience depends on Podping. And so, you know, you can do it another way. We just outlined how you can, right, but the best experience to get the most immediate, you know, ping is to use Podping, and so that system has to remain like rock steady. And to do that, I'm just sort of like pulling my hair out with this Docker thing. That was a long way to go to get to
the crying part. Help!
Yes.
Yeah. Well, bottom line, I think it's a great feature. I'm seeing just a whole bunch of radio stations who have podcasts who will love having a lit tag in their podcast feed. We already know they do because we have about 45 of them who do it without them really understanding it, but we do it for them. and then having their podcasts, and everybody can use their favorite podcast app. They're also trying to set up their own podcast or their own apps, and they really don't have a lot of podcast capability in there. But the lit tag really opens up new capabilities, and I just think it'd be great to have Apple on board. And there's another, if we can move to a new topic.
Wait. I have more cries for help. Okay. Maybe I can.
No, please.
Maybe I can get it. Let me throw in my other live stream related cry for help.
Okay.
Is what you mentioned earlier, the live stream metadata.
Yes.
We need, I need a way to get the metadata from Shoutcast streams in the browser, and I can't figure out how to do this. The documentation is sort of like all over the place. I've tried every approach I can find mentioned anywhere, and none of them seem to work.
Isn't it a separate player that does this, or do you have to do this as a separate stream that comes from the server? I don't know much about it, so I'm just asking.
Initially, what I thought it was I thought it was ID3 data embedded in the Shoutcast stream chunks. And if that's the case, then I don't think I'd be able to decode it without writing a custom audio web audio engine. Cotton Gin says there's a JSON XML endpoint for Icecast that features metadata. I saw that documented as well. But it seems to indicate that you find where that endpoint lives by looking at the response headers of the HTTP request to get the stream. And that does not seem to be reliable. I don't think.
Not everybody does it that way. There's differences.
Yeah. Thinking about, like, looking at your stream for Hello Fred, for instance.
Yeah.
Because this is all pertinent. This is a Godcaster related issue that I'm running in from a development standpoint, but this is also for live to be
doing live in general. Yeah. You want to have that.
You got to have that. And so broadly speaking, this needs to be for app developers of all stripes. The Hello Fred live stream, you're using Live 365.
Yes.
And I couldn't, and maybe I'm blind, but I don't see anywhere where the metadata endpoint is defined. I just don't see where it is. Like, it doesn't seem to be, when you get the stream, I don't see a header that's coming back that says, okay, go here to get the live stream data.
I thought it was the same address but a different port, honestly. Somehow I remember that.
Is there any documentation in Live 365 that would show that?
I'm looking right now. Let me see
if I can get the Hello Fred live stream URL.
Well, now there's two. There's one coming from noagendastream.com, which is what you probably have. And it would be better to use that one, I think, because I'm streaming through Live 365 and through live.noagendastream.com, believe it or not, for a whole bunch of reasons.
Oh, you're going live.noagendastream.com/Adam.
Yes, correct. Now, I know that the metadata is being sent and received, but that's being sent. So if it shows up on noagenda.stream, and I know that Void Zero runs the server, so he's probably pulling it right out of the server side.
Okay, see,
he's got it easy there.
There are in the response headers for the, so if you do a GET request for HTTPS live.noagendastream.com/Adam, what you get back is you get the raw byte response, but then you also get the headers, which include some Icecast specific headers.
Yeah.
And that's going to be like IC dash description, IC dash genre, name, blah, 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 blah. And so then there should be, by the documentation I've seen, there should be also be a metadata endpoint in there that's something like IC-metadata.
Hmm.
And it should give you the address to query, but I don't see that returned in almost any Icecast stream that I can find.
Well, interestingly, if you get the, so there's an XSPF stream.
What is that? XFPS?
Well, if you go to listen.noagendastream.com, right?
Okay.
Yeah. And you see at the top there, you see mount.point/Adam.
I see mount.point/noagenda.
You don't see Adam at the top? Listen.noagendastream.com. Not live, but listen.
Yeah. Yeah. Listen.noagendastream.com. And I see mount.noagenda and mount.point V for V music.
Well, that's interesting.
Are you logged in or something maybe?
It doesn't really matter. Click on the, if you download that at the top, you see the XSPF link.
Yes.
So if you download that and then open it in Notepad++.
I'm on Linux. I'll have to use Notepad minus, just, minus.
How about more?
Cat. I'm going to use cat.
Cat. There you go. You can use that.
All right, so I'm going to.
You'll see that the current metadata is being sent with it.
Okay.
Which is kind of interesting.
SPF.
So I see homegrown hits, episode 68, Thursday, 16th of January.
Yeah, and I see it says, track list, track, title, creator.
Yeah, yeah. So that,
Changes along every time the stream changes?
It does. I believe so. Yeah, it does, because I'm looking at mine from Hello Fred, and it shows me the current song playing. Yes, and that is the current song. Yes, it is the current song.
See, so maybe I'm just not... What's your Live365 URL?
Okay.
You're hiding that behind the noagendastream.com/Adam. Is that what's happening?
Well, no, I use that for tune in. I'll put it in the boardroom. Hold on. I'll put in my endpoint.
Because I want to see. Let's stick your endpoint in the boardroom.
That's there you gross. Go. I just stuck it in. It's too late. My endpoint has been stuck in the boardroom. Done.
That says ingest. Is that right?
Yes. Wait. I'm sorry. You're right. My mistake, I think. No, you're right. That's, hold on.
That's the innie. Yeah, we need the Audi. Yeah.
You need the Audi. Here it is. Here's the Audi. Okay. Here's the Audi. There you go.
Hey, there we go. That looks good.
That
okay.
Looks
so
better.
Let me see. All right. So I'm going to stick that in.
Stick it in.
I just did.
Big Dave.
Okay. Copy link. We're going to go.
I love doing this in the boardroom. it's like, you know, when you're in a board meeting and someone's trying to get the PowerPoint to work. And I was like, looking on their phones, you know, doing other things. Like, what are we doing
here? It's like last week, people were saying that they were bored. When the boardroom gets bored, they start like creating protocols and doing like
it's
useful
good.
Stuff.
It's actually a good thing. It's a good. They were bored. No one said that. Did they say they were bored last week?
Somebody said they were bored.
No, someone went yawn. It's always some troll. Probably Boobery. Boobery does that kind of stuff. Meh. Okay, there's meh. The, yawn.
Yeah. Meh. Yeah. Meh. Okay. Yeah. See, there's no metadata header in here either. So where am I supposed to get this from? Copy URL. I'm going to put in the raw stream.
Yeah. Well, it's there. It's there. For sure it's there. It's coming out.
And then maybe I'll try .xspf. Interestingly, that just gives me the... I don't know, man. I don't know. Nope, nothing on XP. I don't know how to do this. Like, I need a reliable way to document somewhere where, to tell app developers, okay, here's how you do this. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay. Don't know. Well, we're gonna figure it out. We're gonna figure it out. You sure you .xpsf and it didn't get you anything?
Yeah. Yes, it's not. Yeah, no go. No go.
Hold on a second. More. Hello, Fred XP. Ooh, no, that gave me something. Wait. Oh, that gave me a lot, actually. If I do .xpsf, I get, do I get the current song?
Oh, every time I do that audio thing, it blows my head off.
No, it's actually giving me the whole audio stream at that moment. No, it's not good. Anyway. Okay. Help. Just say help. 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 Somebody help. Yeah. Somebody help. We'll get somebody to help.
Cry. It's a cry. See, this is. This is the audio cry. Stream. Das, you're coming from Das Edge.
Das Edge?
Yes.
Is that where I'm coming from? Das Edge?
Yeah, it's German. It's right here. This is the actual audio stream that you get redirected to for your stream. But then if you like tried various things like putting in .xspf.
Yeah, you get the stream. Nothing. You get a whole bunch of data. Yeah.
Yeah, you get nothing. So whatever.
All right. Help. Help. Just help everybody. Now, there has been some talk, and I'm not going to tell you anybody who or what, but there was some interesting talk. There was some interesting backroom talk.
Scuttlebutt.
Yeah, there was some back channel stuff about chapters. And I thought this was so interesting, I wanted to bring it up. That this may be another very, not for necessarily for me, not for value for value, but chapters, apparently, from what I understand, some entities have been tinkering with chapters to use the firing of a chapter image at a chapter point when the podcast plays to that moment. Tracking mechanism for people actually listening at that moment in the podcast. Now,
yes.
Now, I don't know if every podcast app works the same way. I presume some may already cache the images. I'm not sure, and I'd love to know how people are doing it, but I would say that is a very interesting hack that people are looking at, and maybe we can turn that into something robust. That is not necessarily a spying mechanism, but does give those who believe advertising is the future and their Lord and Savior a way to get more first-person data than what we currently have and could actually help that side of podcasting, because obviously I'm not against what they're doing. I thought it was just an interesting observation.
Okay, so you're saying that, let me just flesh it out. Somebody's listening to a podcast, it's got chapters file in it.
Yeah.
Right before the ad, there is an image that's displayed in the chapters.
And right after it, perhaps.
And right after. And so you could time the two get requests for the images and find out if they listened or maybe skipped.
Yes. As a bonus, you could actually put the ad with the clickable link in the chapter. I'm just saying.
Right.
That may be something that's really beneficial.
Easy way to fix that from a privacy standpoint is just when you download the chapters file, you just go ahead and get all the images with it.
Well, yeah, but I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I'm trying to think about our brothers who are hell bent on advertising.
Right.
I want to have, you know, that could be a toggle, you know, privacy mode or, you know, whatever, or obfuscate proxy the get request when you, whatever it is. I'm saying that could be a very interesting feature for people who want to track advertising listens. And if it's happening anyway, if people are experimenting with it, let's get it out in the open. and let's talk about how can we do it that it protects privacy, but still delivers what people who need that tracking want to achieve or not. It doesn't matter to me. You can have the app that doesn't do that. That's fine.
But you know what we need? What we need is for all of this. I mean, Apple has the right idea. We need private relay.
There you go. That would be, Apple could do that. And if Apple ever decides to do that for their podcast app in general, there's going to be all kinds of issues.
It'd be the hue and cry. You know.
So they could do two at the same time. They could privatize it all and add in chapters.
Yeah.
It would be a win-win for everybody.
Yeah, because if you have anonymized IPs or obfuscated IPs, then none of that other stuff, then the tracking doesn't matter.
Right. We're just giving these guys so many good ideas. And what are they doing? Apple intelligence.
There's
no intelligence to be found in it.
No, of course.
Do you see they've even stopped doing the little summary of news alerts, because they were doing news alert summary. You get an alert, there's a news item, breaking news, I need your attention right now. And they would summarize it, and it would kind of transmogrify the headline into something that was completely untrue. The example being the kid who shot and killed the insurance company CEO. They had that... The final line was, and then he shot himself.
Oh, that's not true.
So he didn't shoot himself. But now Apple has actually stopped doing that, because the BBC was very upset with him, because the BBC was getting all these, I mean, there may be three examples, but let's just say all of these headlines from Apple's pop-up alert that were just factually incorrect. And they were like, whoa, Apple. So Apple stopped doing that, for now at least.
Spurlock says that Shoutcast streams stick live meta in between the MP3 frames. See, I didn't see this because Spurlock
is a genius.
No, he's not a genius. He shuns the boardroom.
Really? He doesn't sit in the boardroom? Why not? What's his problem?
He doesn't like the way everybody smells.
Oh, fair.
Honestly, it's a little ripe in here sometimes. But that's the way, you know, if that's the case, then I would.
You should be able to pick it up.
Well, I mean, you'd have to decode the audio.
You got to have a sniffer. Okay.
A sniffer.
A sniffer.
You just grab a sniffer.
Yeah, have a sniffer, man. Just get a little sniffer, action going on. You're good to go.
Cry for help may not be this, may not be the, it, sniffer action. That may be the title of this show.
Sniffer action.
Just get a little bit of sniffer action, because that's actually kind of difficult, because you would have to create your own, you'd have to do web audio.
Yeah.
And then decode the MP3s yourself, which is great as long as, you know, which is not the, I mean, it's no fun, but it's not the end of the world. Mm. Until now you have to do AAC.
Right. Uh-oh.
And
version two. And yeah, OGG.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, oh, really? I mean, I don't want to have to recreate all these different protocols. And nobody else does either. But, I mean,
there's got to be a simpler way to do this. I mean, Podcast Addict should tell us. They've done it.
There's got to be a different player
you put in there. It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would they make it so hard that the pod sage can't figure it out? This is atrocious.
Oh, but there's a lot of things I can't figure out. This is not a new development. See server side refresh hydrated pages and trying to, you know, load dynamic content.
Nice.
From a third party.
Awesome.
I want to end everything. Right. Like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next.js with hydration. That is no fun. Please.
Okay. All right.
We won't go there. Server side. Yes, please. If you're a web dev, please don't do server side rendering with Next.js with these React frameworks. Please don't. It just makes everything such a pain in the butt. Even it even breaks things like LastPass. Like it breaks like web extensions. Yeah.
Wow.
Anything that breaks. So there's I think what's happening is it's like it's rendering everything on it's rendering everything server side and then pushing it to like a shadow DOM and then flipping it into the regular DOM and after the page loads. And so there's no like, as a third party developer that's supposed to put some stuff on the page or interact with the page somehow, there's no clear way to know when the page is finished building itself. So it's just like, you're just like, what?
Mm.
I don't know.
You got to get your DOMs in order, man. Something wrong with your DOMs.
Help!
It's a DOM issue.
It's a DOM issue, yes.
I wanted to mention another huge opportunity for everybody. You could even, AI jockeys, pay attention. Here's something you can do. Or not. Or you could do it just by yourself. Another gaping hole has opened in the communications landscape in America. I'll say in America, but it may actually be more outside. I'm not sure. Byron Allen, who I really think is a cool dude. Byron Allen started with a radio show and now he just has a media empire and he owns a lot of cable stations, cable programming. He's just been buying this up over the years. And he just recently closed his acquisition for $300 million of the Weather Channel.
So he owns the Weather Channel now?
He owns the Weather Channel. And the first order of business, which, of course, if you're going to buy the Weather Channel, you want to make money on it. So what did he do? Fired all the local weather people.
Okay.
Now, I'll tell you from my experience, from my little Fredericksburg streaming station, HelloFred.fm. The number one thing this is what people always say to me after they've listened for an hour or a day or whatever, they'll come up to me and say, man, I love HelloFred.fm. I especially love it when you tell me what the temperature is on Main Street. Because you know,
and the traffic.
Well, I don't have traffic, but the software I use, the playout system, I basically recorded from minus 10 to plus 110, and it goes like this: it's 15 degrees on Main Street in Fred, and it just pops it in between two songs. People love that the most. They say they really do. They said, I can listen to K-Love, but I like listening to Hello Fred. It's got the same kind of music, but I get to know what the temperature is on Main Street. So it's really hyper local. What an opportunity. What an opportunity for automated stuff. I mean, for so many different things. I'm blown away by the opportunity here for local weather, which you can get from your nearest regional airport or local airport. You can go to their website and they'll have the TAF, the terminal area forecast, and it's very accurate.
You just scrape the HTML and get a sniffer.
You can also get it from the National Weather Service. You can get the it's code, so you have to decode it.
Okay.
But most of these local airports, they'll decode it for you because it's just they have BRKN, which means broken. They have all these abbreviations, which as a pilot, I've learned to read them. But if we can get it translated, that's good too.
Right.
Okay. And it's good within like a 12-hour period. It's going to be very, very accurate because lives depend on it. So these types of, and they have PIREPS, which is pilot reports. So, you get a good situational awareness. And now you have this hole where people desperately want this kind of information. So even if you had a podcast that just said, right now the weather is, and here's what's coming up, people would listen to it. They would subscribe and they would, let me just check the weather. Boom, here's my latest report. Kind of like James when he had that time thing.
Oh, yeah, the clock.
Yeah, the clock, which was cool.
It was a pod clock.
Yeah, I think he shut that down. It went into sunset mode. He retired.
That's a shame.
Yeah. But and it would have your local time wherever you were based on time zone. That is a programming opportunity that is just waiting to be scooped up by somebody.
How are you doing that on the Live 365 side?
Well,
how is it dynamic?
Well, I use this software called Station Playlist, which is what most radio stations use. It's not cheap. It's like $400. And it has all these different things. I mean, you can record record a little intro, just talking about something, and then you can tell it, okay, back time it into the intro of the next song that comes up. That presumes that you have the intro timing set, etc. So in this case, I literally just have a temp insert. The software looks at the temperature for Fredericksburg, which I get from whatever service they use, you know, whatever open source service. So it knows that it's 50 degrees. And then actually I can probably play this for you. Let me see. So I'll say it right now. It's about 39 degrees in Fred. Hold on a second. Where do I get that from?
Hottest year on record.
It's always the hottest year on record. Hold on a second. I have to go in here. It's really quite funny. Let me see. Station Playlist. Where is it? Here it is. And then temp files, studio. Okay.
But it's your software that's like dynamically.
Yeah. So it picks it up. It literally picks it up. Let me see.
But it feels like my.
Oh, that's feels like. I didn't do the feels like stuff. That was too stupid for me. Here we go. Is this it? Yeah. Here we go.
It's 17 degrees.
That's their standard thing, and here's mine.
It's minus 17 degrees.
Oh, man, I'm in the wrong folder. They give you that? I don't use that one. I recorded them myself.
Yeah, I've heard your inserts. They're cool.
Yeah, I'm trying to find one to play for people, but I'm failing.
I guess what I'm wondering is it uploading it to Live365's grid?
No. This does it all local, and it just outputs it as a in the stream. So it just inserts it the same way it would play the next song. It just plays the temperature.
Okay, so I think I misunderstood Live365. So Live365 is an RTSP. You're broadcasting into Live365 from
here we go.
Like you would with OBS. 22
degrees on Main Street in Fred. There you go.
So you're doing it's sort of like OBS would. You're broadcasting into Live365.
Exactly.
And it's restreaming you.
Yes. Live365 does have a way where you can schedule everything and it will do the transitions, but it's kind of low tech. It's great if you're just starting out. But if you really want to make things zippy and snappy, then you have to go to your own software. So I have a full-time Dell that's just running that software all the time.
Ah, I got you. Okay, this makes things a lot clearer. I got you. And so so the metadata that ultimately comes out of the HelloFred live stream is originating from your software.
Yes, from me. Correct.
Okay. This is much clearer in my head.
Oh. I like that.
Okay. Oh. Okay.
I've helped the sage. This is amazing.
Yeah. Help.
All right. One more topic we got to hit because as I look at my Strike wallet, funny things are happening. I got two sats here earlier this week. If you're seeing this, then I zapped episode 207 from Noster from Damus on iOS using Strike, and it went to all the splits. Love, Stephen B.
Of course it was Stephen B.
So his split box is working. How does this magic work here? I have no idea.
What'd you do, Stephen?
Well, I think he's using the split box. Now I see undefined Eric PP, PC207 Live, January 17th. That was last week. Six sats. So something is working somewhere. And I have a feeling that the split box, if that one thing that Stephen B sent, he must be using the split box. If he can zap to episode 207 from a Noster note from Damus on iOS using Strike and it went to all the splits, that's pretty amazing.
Stephen B said witchcraft and lots of chicken bones.
Okay, well, good. Well, this, there we go. Could you please document your chicken bones?
we should probably just get Steven on the show, just get him to break down split box.
Let's do that. Steven B, you available next week? Let's do that.
Yeah, let's go ahead and do
yeah,
that.
Yeah, he says Splitbox can now read feed and get item GUIDs that I put in the Noster notes. Okay.
Okay, I see that. Okay, that's amazing. I see what he's doing here.
And so he was sending it from Strike, which doesn't do key send, and his Splitbox was then converting what needed to be key send into key send and what needed to be LNURL pay into LNURL pay and rebroadcasting it, which is just lovely.
Interesting.
And okay. And we're still waiting for Oscar to get the LNURLP stuff working on Fountain. He says it's coming in the next week or so. So we're waiting for that.
Yeah, I think Oscar was out of the country for a while. I think he was on vacation.
He's always out of the country. He lives in England. What do you mean? He's out of our country.
He's out of his country.
This is the only country that matters, man. No one. By the way, I will point out that our newly minted president put out quite an interesting statement on. Let me see if I can find it. Where is it? Executive order to establish United States leadership in digital financial technology. And there's a lot in here, which I'm still parsing, but
yes, this is causing much consternation.
Yeah.
Confusion. Like some people are like rug pull, you know, and other people are,
I don't see the rug pull, but it does mention specifically, self-custody and creating software that you can do all that. I'm looking for the exact language here.
I think the rug pull comments came from the stablecoin stuff.
Oh, but I've said this from day. He was very clear about that at the Bitcoin conference. But everyone's all too jitty listening to the Bitcoin strategic Bitcoin reserve. He's going to use stablecoin. Stablecoin. The U.S. dollar will be stablecoin based. Which is great because stable coins are based on a 1-to-1 peg with the U.S. dollar, and a stable coin is created when the U.S. borrows $1. So when we borrow a dollar, so we have a dollar, we just created a dollar, and we borrowed that, and someone else holds that debt, that is Tether, because they hold a lot of it, and then they create another dollar in the form of a stable coin on top of that. So you've secretly kind of made $2 for the price of one on the balance sheet. On the balance sheet,
what could possibly go wrong?
The whole thing could fall apart. I mean, our entire economy could blow up at any moment.
My favorite line from the movie Contact is, with governments, why build one when you can build two for twice the price?
Exactly. I'm looking into it, but I'm gonna see if I can break that down for next week, because there's some other stuff that needs to be discussed about. But specifically, it said self custody will be legal, and we should not only feel free to create software that facilitates cryptocurrency, but also be free and legal to do that. And so you won't get rolled up into, get arrested for doing something.
This all sounds like Manosphere talking points.
Protecting and promoting the ability of individual citizens and private sector entities alike to access and use for lawful purposes open public blockchain networks without persecution, including the ability to develop and deploy software to participate in mining and validation, to transact with other persons without unlawful censorship, and to maintain self-custody of digital assets. Dude, that just made Splitbox legal.
That's what was the thing that's needed is the thing that this not clear to me with this, but seems to be promised in this, which is regulatory clarity.
Correct.
Because I mean, that's really the issue here is that if I run Splitbox, am I a money transmitter?
Well, you may be, but as long as you're not doing it for unlawful reasons, you're okay, according to purpose and policy, section 1, AI.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, Apple intelligence.
Yeah.
Providing
regulatory clarity and certainty built on technology neutral regulations, frameworks that account for emerging technologies, transparent decision making, and well defined jurisdictional regulatory boundaries, all of which are essential to support a vibrant and inclusive digital economy and innovation in digital assets, permissionless blockchains, and distributed ledger technologies. Promoting and protecting the sovereignty of the United States dollar, including through actions to promote the development and growth of lawful and legitimate dollar-backed stable coins worldwide. There's your extra dollar creation. Mm-hmm. But it's very clear that you should be able to develop and deploy software to participate in mining and validating, to transact with other persons. That I interpret that to be directly without unlawful censorship, and to maintain self-custody of assets. These are all the issues Albie had.
Right, yeah, and that's
turn
what
it back
said.
On, is, Moritz! Yeah. Turn it back on! Yeah. Turn it back
Flip
on!
The switch.
Flip the switch, bro! You're protected! Trump!
Yeah. Trump.
Trump!
Yeah. That's what Daniel was saying. It doesn't mean Albie could come back. I mean, I doubt they would, because they would, you know... It specifically
states no CBDC. Specifically, no CBDCs, no. Taking measures to protect Americans from the risk of central bank digital currencies, which threaten the stability of the financial system. Yeah, like stable coins are great. Okay, fine.
Yeah. Well, CBDCs, the thing, it's not like the digital dollar that we already use is that much different than a CBDC.
No.
I mean, everything's digital anyway. The only thing that's the problem with a CBDC is that it accelerates the race to the bottom,
yes,
to like an infinity speed.
It does.
Because then there's just not even any pretense of holding back. You just start adding zeros, like, you know,
yeah,
like they're going out of style.
But I think this is very positive. For me, it spells out very clearly. You can develop software. As long as you're not using it for money laundering,
mm-hmm,
which, you know, of course, there's all kinds of caveats there. It has to be lawful. So if someone is boosting $1 million through your split box, you might have a problem if they're doing it to obfuscate money laundering. But it's highly doubtful that is going to work.
Oh. Whoa.
Thank you, Dreb.
Hello.
Dreb's got waltzes in the door.
Well, that's just where But that's just where you put sane limits.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, even Albie did this. When you're running a service, and, you know, this is something that I've run into this week. Let's go this way. So Tom over at Buzzsprout, he pinged me and said, hey, I'm about one out of every 200 requests to the API, I'm getting an error, and it's a decompression error.
Yes. Yes.
And so I'm like, huh, that's odd. And he showed me the error, and, it's like something with decoding the gzip compression from the HTTP, you know, payload. I'm like, oh, okay, this is weird. So I look, and I really can't find anything in any of the logs that's causing a problem. I don't see where this failure is being documented. And the thing is, he's still getting back a 200 error, excuse me, a 200 response code, but then it just fails on the decoding part. And the only thing I can see that's different by looking at all the logging on Cloudflare and everything is that we've had a huge influx in the amount of API traffic.
Okay.
The overall traffic on the API has gone way up.
Do we know where it's coming from?
Well, I started looking into it, and there were a couple of new sources of requests that look like they're not steady. They're sort of bursty type traffic.
Bursty.
They're very bursty.
Sounds scammy.
I don't think it is. I think it's just people. I actually think
in a bursty mood. Oh, I think I'll burst over at Podcast Index. Here I come. I'm bursting.
I don't think it's necessarily scammy. I think they're just over. I think they're hitting the API at too fast of a rate.
Hmm.
And like I get this from time to time. I get people emailing and saying, "Hey, I just hit your rate limit. I'm getting rate limited. What is your rate limit so I'll know how much traffic I can send?"
Yes, I've seen those notes too.
I almost always reply and say, "We do not publish rate limits."
Right.
Because my standard reply is, "We do not publish rate limits because we are a free service that operates on donations. And if we publish rate limits, everyone would elevate their
to the rate limit." Exactly.
To right under the rate limit. And we can't handle that. We want you to treat the API responsibly. That means think about how you cannot hit us very much. You know,
please consider us. Consider us like your friends, not like just some well you can drink from all the time whenever you want, you thirsty pauper, you.
Yeah, right. And the ones that always ask about the rate limits are the ones that have never donated any money.
Of course. Oh, yes. Oh, I know. People who complain about donation segments have never donated.
Right. So that's my typical response. And I think what has happened is a couple of people have come on board and they're hammering us in waves to the point where they get rate limited. And I think at that point, what is happening is I feel like it is overloading the front end, either one or both of the front end servers, to the point where there starts to become error, like responses maybe get broken.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it backs off, everything goes back to normal.
Stop the hammering.
This is just completely a guess on my part because I can't find any reason for this.
Hmm.
I don't know.
So that means the compression breaks when we're getting hammered?
My theory is that before the rate limit kicks in, the traffic gets high enough on one of the front end nodes to cause a connection failure before the request is finished. And so what you end up is you end up with half a request being returned.
Mm.
So you basically have an incomplete payload being returned from the edge node to Cloudflare, which then passes it through and it can't be decoded properly. So, but because one of the things I did was one of the people that were hitting us was using the sample code user agent string.
Mm-hmm.
And so that is something that I don't allow, that we typically do not allow. We actually block sample code so people don't just, I don't want people hitting us that are anonymous.
Right.
I'm going to force them to use a legitimate user agent string that identifies their application so that we know who they are.
Right.
Because there's the only way to keep sanity and keep everything running well is I have to be able to identify, okay, this person is doing this thing, which is causing some problems. And I need to be able to know who that is so I can contact them and say, "Hey, can you back off? Can you do this? Can you do this?" So I just need some wiggle room there. So I got more aggressive with blocking. Now what happens is if you use, I just put in some more restrictions. So if you use any user agent strings from our sample code library, or if you use something that's vague, like a Python HTTP library.
That would be me.
yeah. Like
Perl.
Like a default library name,
yeah,
anything like that kind of stuff, you're going to get You get blocked with a 403, and in the response body of the 403, it's going to tell you what the problem is so you can fix it. It's going to say, it says, you're not allowed to use vague or sample code user agent strings or default library user agent strings. You must create a distinct identifiable app name. And that will at least let me know what this traffic is, because if we have some, you know, if somebody, here's another thing that happens a lot on the API. We get a lot of educational people that are like doing, you know, postgraduate work, and they'll want to download a bunch of data out of the API to do analysis on, mm-hmm. which I think is great, which is great. I'm happy to provide that for them. And they usually contact us because they want, you know, they want to do things right.
Yep.
And so they'll contact us and say, hey, here's what I want to do. Can I do this? And, you know, yeah, sure. And, but then a lot of times they're just, you know, they just create a script and they'll just, you know, I always tell them, I was like, do not scrape. Don't go feed ID one all the way through feed ID seven. No,
please, you know, don't.
8 million. Please don't do this.
Just download the database.
Right. Please. So, but they, you know, they don't always get this. And so there are a lot of times what the source of this traffic is. And I just need to know in advance. Name your app like University of Michigan, you know, Jimmy, right. Whatever, something so I can know that you're Jimmy and this is what you're doing, so that if you do something inadvertently that hurts us, I can contact you and let you know. So I think that may have been the source of the issue.
Okay.
He says it has resolved, and but then Alex from Podcast Guru said he was also, he thinks he was seeing the same issue, and it was rare, but it was showing up in the logs. So I'm hoping that resolves it, but if it doesn't, I'll get back in there and we'll figure something out. That's another cry for help that I need on the DevOps side, is I need to put in, I need to finally put in some better,
guardrails.
So we don't use Redis. Every decision that we've made on the API revolves around lack of resources.
Of course.
Just money, you know, and it's purely all about keeping this thing as cheap as we can, because that's the way that we're going to live forever. And,
anyone who works in a company, have you ever heard your DevOps people say, we're trying to run this as cheaply as possible, boss? No.
No.
Definitely not. So hat tip to the pod sage.
Thank you, brother. What we would normally do, what I would normally do in a production server that I knew was going to be getting a lot of traffic, is run a Redis box, which is is an in-memory database, very fast. And then all the things that are like sort of bookkeeping work, mm-hmm. sort of like when an API request comes in, you want to look up their authorization token, make sure it's valid, all this sort of bookkeeping work that happens with every request, you want to shift that off to this fast in-memory database, like Redis. Mm. That way you're not hitting your main database for just little nothing sort of insignificant traffic. Mm. You're keeping it reserved for the heavy hitter traffic.
So you need me to create that Redis database for you? Is that what you're asking? Is that the help you need?
If you ChatGPT that thing, you can get that up and running.
Why don't we thank some people who have helped us keep this running, since I'm conscious of your time in these trying days. So for those who are new to the board meeting, welcome. Enjoy the donuts. A little stale by now, but okay. The good donuts. We run everything value for value, the index node, all of the sats that you boost us go into the node. We open up channels of liquidity to anybody who needs it. If you have an Albi hub that has turned out to be kind of problematic because people are using the LSP and then you don't actually have a publicly accessible node. But, you know, I think Boomi and Moritz are working on stuff. And so we're happy to help. But if you have your own node at home, we're happy to open up some liquidity to you. And of course, you can also go to podcastindex.org. Down at the bottom, there's a big red donate button that goes to our Fiat Fund coupons funnel, which is PayPal. And everything that you send us goes into the kitty, into the bank account, and we use it to continue the life of and the life cycle of Podcast Index. And we really appreciate it. We got a 7777, a mini striper boost from Dreb Scott. He says, boosting because I don't think I've heard enough pews this episode. Go podcasting. That's right. Very low pewage. The pewage is off today. BR with 1,000 sats. 2 for the price of 1. What could possibly go wrong? A MicroStrategy strategy. Yes. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Randy Black, 1321. How does any of this work? Running with scissors and raw dogging it. That's how. Go podcasting. Yeah, we're raw dogging it. Yeah, yeah. Raw dogging it, baby. Yeah.
Roto.
Thank you, Sam Sethi. Sethi, 3518. Boosting in from True Fans. Love that track. Sounds like Prince. Indeed. We got Lyceum. Lyceum boosted in early and said, I listened to the episode 10 of Claire Waite Brown's podcast, Podcasting 2.0 in Practice. Oh, yes. Guest Daniel J. Lewis talked about different use cases for super chapters. Yeah, he's changing the name, Super Chapters. I got inspired and searched on books about astronomy and space science. I stumbled upon a list of proper names on Wikipedia. I look forward to listening to a podcast about astronomy and cyberspace. Episode 1701, Atlas 27 Tauri IA-1 Taurus. Adam and Dave, how about stargazing events in Fredericksburg, Texas and Birmingham, Alabama? Interesting you should say that. Fredericksburg, Texas has low light laws for this very reason.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Dark sky.
Dark sky. For this very reason, people love walking outside in Fredericksburg. And so neon is not allowed on Main Street. You're supposed to even residential so that people can look up at night and see the stars and you can gaze to your heart's content. And we do have a club. Mm-hmm. We have a club out here that meets regularly.
What's it called?
I don't know what it's called. The Fredericksburg Stargazers Club, probably something like that. I think they meet at the airport on certain days. And I don't know about Birmingham, Alabama. Do you have any dark skies rules there? Are you all just blasting everything?
No, we're just off the seat of the pants all the time. There's no rules here. Right. Yeah, you're lucky to get a speeding ticket in Birmingham.
So that's all we got live and during the pre-show. Dave, what do you have on your list?
Tom and the boys at Buzzsprout, they, in spite of us giving them errors on the API lookups, gave us $1,000.
Nice.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you very much, Buzzsprouters. We love you. We appreciate you. You are almost single-handedly keeping us alive. But there are other people. Every single amount helps. Value for value. Every single, even the smallest Satoshi matters.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank
you,
guys.
Kevin and all the boys and girls over there. And speaking of hosting companies, Blueberry Team comes in with $350.
Nice.
Shot caller, 20-inch blaze on the Impala.
Thank you, Blueberry Team. Todd and the kids.
The Blueberry Team is head down and cranking away. Go podcasting.
Indeed.
Go podcasting!
I'll hit it for that. You give us $300, I'll hit a go podcasting for you.
You'll hit it?
I'll hit it.
By the way, I don't know how this got in here, but this is, I renewed our DMCA agent thing. It was about to expire.
Oh,
our
good.
Our DMCA agent registration with the Copyright Office.
Oh, okay, good.
And I had to transfer it out of Eric's email address to ours. I got that off. I need to send you these credentials.
Did you have to do this through login.gov?
Yes.
Because I saw like you've changed your password on login.gov. I'm immediately like, oh crap, somebody's trying to hack into my or change your phone number or something like that. Someone's trying to hack into my login.gov, which is bad because that's your TSA number and your whole that'll soon be your digital ID, no doubt. So you would do it. I figured you would do because I saw then it was info@podcastindex.org, so I figured okay. That's you.
How I ended up changing this, I still don't know. Somehow it just, it didn't work. And then it just worked. I don't know.
Yeah. Login.gov sucks banana balls. Let me tell you that.
It does.
Because
it does.
There's certain points like, oh, you've tried too many times. Come back in 48 hours. It's got all kinds of, it's buggy. It's just
you know
buggy.
You know what's also a scam is ID.me.
Oh, stay away from that. Stay away from that. There's a lot of
you
this.
You can't. I mean, like, oh, I mean, they have like exclusive contracts with government agencies now.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Social Security Administration.
No way.
You have to use ID.me. Yes. Yes.
I haven't been forced down that path yet.
How they've done that with a private company, I have. You know, pure.
But there's also other scams. People who are trying to get an ESTA visa, which is what you need to. What's the one in Europe? The opposite way. So now in Europe, you have to pay. It's supposed to be $21. No, it was ESTA. I'm sorry, ESTA. Which if you're coming from outside the U.S., you need to get a visa, and it was $17. Now it's $21. And someone emailed me and said, "I paid $90. What a ripoff!" I said, "Did you use a .gov?" Oh crap! He said, "I went through some other service." And they jack up the price from 21 to 90. So you got to be real careful. There's a lot of scams. It's, you know, the internet was kind of a bad idea when you think about it.
Oh, it was a terrible idea. We need to go back.
Yes. Back to Bakelite.
Sticks.
Sticks.
We got some boost. Feral Jeremy sent us 3,000 sats through Fountain.
Thank you, Feral.
He says, James Spann is a no agenda listener also. That's our local weather guy, James Spann,
that I mentioned
last week.
Oh, yeah. Really? How do we know
James
that?
James Spann is a no agenda listener also. He knows every small town and crossroads in the state of Alabama. Yes, he does.
Nice.
The most famous video of James Spann is he's talking about he's covering live a tornado that's coming through Alabama, and he's talking about the path it's taking, and he's naming every single little like
Hamlet, you know, and Berg,
every one of them by memory off of this thing. And then he throws in he's like, it's coming through your town. Hey, everybody at Wesley's Booby Trap. That's a strip club. It's coming at you.
Classic.
Yeah. Wesley's Classic. Booby Trap landmark Classic. In Alabama.
Classic.
Thank you, Feral Jeremy. Gene Bean, 2222 through Castomatic. He says, regarding what Sam was talking about, HLS can also be plugged into a CDN if you happen to need that level of concurrent listeners. It's where a lot of things in television industry are going, so I can see why it would be a good fit for the audio side too.
Okay.
Interesting.
Yep. Well, we are seeing radio stations in the wild using it.
Mm-hmm. Gene Bean again, 2222. He says, Dave, in case you haven't already seen it on Mastodon, I've finally gotten around to setting up some additional monitoring beyond Uptime Kuma, and happy to extend my monitoring alerting related to the index. Thank you, Gene. Yes, I did see this, and I'm getting your notifications and Archie's notifications, and it is very helpful. Thank you. Yes, Kiwi. Wesley's Booby Trap is a strip club. Yes.
In case you didn't understand the story. Yes.
What a great name.
Great name. Yeah. I think that's the show title. That's our show title right there. The Booby Trap.
What, Wesley's Booby Trap?
No, just the Booby Trap. Yeah. The Booby Trap.
Dwev sent us 2,500.
Nice.
He says, through True Fans, he says, curated feeds in a constant stream could really work for publishers. It could easily be automated with the handovers between podcasts. For example, I imagine something like a Pushkin live stream where you could have all the Pushkin content on a single stream with automated bumpers and handovers, even sponsorships between programs. You could have a special link that allows you to go from the live stream to the same time in the actual podcast episode, allow your chapters, easy subscription.
That would be nice. Idea. Yeah, that's a cool idea.
That's real similar to what that's a similar idea to what Jupiter Broadcasting is doing with the Jupiter Station. Their lives, it's all their shows in a live stream.
Linear format, yeah.
A linear format, automated, yep.
Cool.
Let's see.
I like the idea of saying, okay, click, and it takes you to the podcast, and then you're at that very spot in the podcast. That's pretty bad. I like that.
Yeah, I like it too. Let's see, okay, you already read that one. So we got the Delimiter.
Here we go.
Tom Comstrip Blogger, 14,250. Through Fountain, he says, howdy, Dave and Adam. Do you need a short-form podcast to help fill time? Become informed on a wide variety of topics and spark new ideas. Check out A Walk Through the Mind with Billy Bones. That's with an 3 instead of an E at BillyBone3S.com. Over 300 episodes to get you started. Pick a title that sounds interesting and hit play. BillyBones.com with a 3 instead of an E. Take a walk through the mind. Yo, CSB.
Hey, that was a big rhymer there. Nice. Thank you. Comics or blogger. On every single podcast, he shows up and he's promoting other podcasts. He's a very valuable booster.
Now with broccoli.
All splits are green, like my broccoli. That's right. That's right. Beautiful.
We got monthlies. We got Lauren Ball, $24.20. Thank you, Lauren. Satan's Lawyer, Trevor, down under at $5. Michael Goggin, $5. Charles Current, $5. Jorge Hernandez, $5. James Sullivan, $10. Christopher Reamer, $10. Cohen Glotzbach, $5. And Jordan Dunville, $10. That's our group.
Thank you all so much for supporting the podcast index and, of course, the subsequent board meeting. Thank you, Boardroom, for being with us today. We went through a lot. You heard the cries for help. So if you feel so moved, please reach out to davidpodcastindex.org. And now is a perfect time for me to go probe my meat. How about you?
Yeah, I'll let you take care of your meat. I'll take care of my meat.
Okay, we'll all right. Have a good weekend, Brother Dave.
All right, you too, man.
And same to everybody in the boardroom. We'll see you next week right here on Podcasting 2.0.
You have been listening to Podcasting 2.0. Visit podcastindex.org for more information.
Go podcasting! Thanks for not boosting everybody.